Okay, so ad kan we discussed the issue of nishba mipi atzmo. Again, the pashtus you would think this certainly does violate the iser lo sishavu bishmini shaker. One issue we dealt with was the fact that the Gemara, right, and this is how I think many understood it. Why does the Gemara say azharmi nayin doesn't answer with lo sishavu? I did the tana reisha. He's moving to the pasuk, or it's dealing with a case that maybe isn't covered. One second, but it would certainly be also over lo sishavu. I think the Rambam, there's some reason to question that, the fact that he doesn't ever say that, and we give an attempt at an explanation that perhaps this is a case where sort of Yotzi Lidom Devar Chadash, in terms of the Lav and the Azhar that you violate, the Torah is treating it separately and addressing it separately, and that removes it, in this case, from the more general Lav that it had otherwise fallen under. Yeah?
Rather ask the question, but by Shuas Edis where that's
a
question that we don't find that you have
a separate you don't, correct. Well, that may depend on what we discussed. Maybe a little samur. Again, I don't like that.
Right.
But yeah.
So
yeah.
Towards that approach, if you hold that, meaning, how would you answer that? Wow, what would the difference be if you hold that there really is good?
So we'll get to the exact point. Yeah, exactly. Mishnah Melech is all over the issue. And the question is exactly what we'll get right, which is what about cases where there is no, it doesn't seem like it should fit under the standard, right, lo sishavu lishmiyaker, right? Given, assuming that you do buy the lo sishavu in the standard case, nishma piyatmo, of shuas beikadon, you can still ask, what about mishma mipiyachir? So here, this is exactly the issue which is discussed by the Mishnah Melech, and he presents one of two options. One is, he says, perhaps you don't buy the lo sishavu, and that's his answer to the Azhar Minayin question, right? In other words, why is it that the Gemara needs to come to specific lo shishakru? Precisely because when it comes to the yisur lo shishavu b'shmina shaker, so you violate that specifically b'nishma piyatmo. There is no such violation mipiyachir, and therefore, in that case, you have only lo shishakru. Then he suggests he retreats somebody in order to accommodate the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, right, which says lavar lo b'shnei lavin. So he didn't want to say at this point that, you know what, maybe the Rambam only means that in certain cases. But the Rambam says it just, you know, unequivocally, categorically. So he says, okay, maybe you can say for the Rambam that maybe you do violate in the end lo sishavu b'shmina shaker. But he suggests that that's only once you have lo sishakru to be megalet on lo sishakru. Lo sishakru, each Rambam himself comes to tell you that this is forbidden too. Right? But once I know that it is forbidden by lo sishakru, what that actually tells you, what that communicates to us, is that in fact that actually violates as well lo sishavu. Now, this is not a pashut thing to say. Number one, the model here is certainly strange. Here what we're dealing with is you have two different isurim. Or the second one comes to cover cases that are not initially covered under the first, right? But then we say that based on the fact that it violates the second isur, we now can derive somehow that it's galut, you know, that it actually violates the first as well. That's a very strange thing. The only other case I think that might be something similar to this is within the Rambam, Rambam's treatment of Vayera Abayi Matzah. It's the only example I can think of, where the Rambam actually, and it's somewhat of a question, he lists them as two separate Isurim, but in Sefer Mitzvos even he says that each of the parameters of each of these Isurim, first of all, they entirely overlap, and moreover, that fact is the parameters of each are derived from the other. So, for instance, issues like tamun, right, things which are not visible, and the prishuso, so the pasuk says lo yirah, lo yimatze, it speaks of different parameters of them. These are different isurim, but we derive, you know, this is megala, that the other applies here as well. That's the only thing that might be similar, but it's certainly something noteworthy. And that also brings us to the second point, which is that these details of Mushma and Piyacherim, so they're not written at all legabe via Taurus. Lo Sishakru Yishrim Mitzvot doesn't say anything specific about, right? In the case of Lo Yirah, Lo Yimatze, that's not so. Lo Yirah would say, where, what, so that you know. That's something that is the Torah is specifically telling you the parameters, at least in one of these Surim. Here, neither of these Surim say anything about any of these parameters. Lo Sishakru Yishrim Mitzvot doesn't say Mushma and Piyacherim, Mushma and Piyatmo. Shaker also doesn't. So in Gvar, we're going to say you can derive these from the fact that Torah is Megala. So one could ask, does it not make more sense to say, rather than say you can derive from the fact that Torah is Megala, Why not just say you can derive it from where the pasuk does speak to the parameters and actually is local to the particular thing we're talking about, namely the chiyuv korban. Right? The pasukim that we're dying all these parameters from are the chiyuv korban. So once, why don't we say, you know what? Apparently, in the case of a shvuas habikadon, right? The fact that the Torah is mechayiv, again, how does it do it? Pesach, whatever. Right? The fact that the Torah is mechayiv in the case of shvuas mushma piacherim, so megala that in this case, shvuas in this case shvuas habikadon, right? In the case of shvuas habikadon, even mushma piacherim violates losi shavu. That seems to be as much of a you know, it makes as much sense at least, if not more, than deriving it from a separate iser. Where that iser itself doesn't actually tell you anything about these parameters. Could you even derive Osishar Yushim itself from there alone that Mushma Piyakaram is Chayiv? I don't know. And then you would say yes, and then you could also Megala on the other iser, the Osishar Yushim. So in Kvar, you're going to say that you can be just simply sort of, you know, reconstructed and be Medani from what the Torah actually, you know, says. It makes at least, I think, much sense to say that you can derive this from the Chiyuv Korban rather than the parallel Asar. And this solves the puzzle. Which Mark was referring to, which Mishnah Melech leaves off as a Sarachin, which involves Shavuos Ha'edus. Right? Because whether or not you say number one or number two for him, right? Whether or not in the end you do violate Losi Shavu, or no, in fact you only violate Losi Shakrub, which would be Acher, either way, the assumption of the Mishnah Melech was that you only know that there's a violation of an Issur of Mushma Piacherim from the separate Asara of Losi Shakrub from himself. So the question the Mishnah Melech raises starts with Yun on what about Shavuos Ha'edus? Shavuos Ha'edus, right, we know there's a chiyuv in the case of Mushma Piacherim, must be there's some iser, he says, right? So if there's no other iser to tell me that it's, right, there's Megala on, right? Because according to him, the only way you know Shavuos Mikadon violates Losh Shavu, if it does at all, right? According to the second approach, it did. But the only way you knew that was because there's another issue that tells you that this case violates. You don't have that other issue. The only issue you have in the case of Shavuos Ha'edus is Lo Shejavu. So again, we suggested other possible answers to that question. Maybe it's Seh Ben Lo Yagid. Maybe it's Lo Samal Dam Reyacha, right? But he was going to the assumption that in fact the issue really is Losi Shavu, and in fact he points out he doesn't just get that on his own. He thinks that's who does he quote to substantiate that? The Smak. He says I reisi the Smak. Smak says as haras shvuos ha'edus. You know, it sounds like he would have maybe been comfortable going in that kind of direction, but then he saw the Smak. The Smak says explicitly that the azhara of Losi Shavu of shvuos ha'edus is Losi Shavu b'shmini shakir. How can that be? That's what he leaves off with. But if we take this alternative approach, and if I go back, the Rebbe Converge Proposal says exactly this, if you take the alternative approach, that in Kfar you're going to talk about being Megala, why not just do that directly from the Psukim? Right? This is what we suggested in the beginning. Right? That Shavuos Ha'edus, maybe this is true. Right? How do we know that Shavuos Ha'edus apparently does violate Losi Shavu B'Shmini Shakir Mushbi Acherim from the fact that the Torah is a Chayav Korban? And that you saw the problem both regarding Shavuos Pikadon and regarding Shavuos Ha'edus. Okay. All right, so that's on the what it is, the Azhara. Now we're just going to come up with a question, relate to a question that the Gemara centers in on, which is, what is the din b'mezid regarding Malkus in the case of Shavuos Pikadon? What do we say about that? So the Gemara raises this question and considers three possibilities. All right, again, we have a Chiyuv Korban we know is b'mezid. Gemara wants to know, and what happens to the Malkus, which is normally b'mezid. Right? What happened to that one? And Gemara raises this question and presents three possibilities. Number one, perhaps, the Gemara says, the Torah is making the Chiyuv Korban b'mezid in lieu, instead of Malkus. There is no Chiyuv Malkus that you receive here. That's the Torah's Chiddush, right? The Torah's Mechadesh, Chiyuv Korban b'mezid, what it means is there's no Chiyuv Malkus. We'll get to elaborate on that in the Rambam afterwards. That's how the Rambam passes. Number two, maybe the Gemara says perhaps what we'll say is it depends. If you get Hasra, right? So then, b'mezid with Hasra, then you're going to be loke. B'mezid b'li Hasra, that's what the Mishnah means when it says that you're going to be chayav a korban when there's no Hasra. Now, just to point out, yeah?
So you never get Malkus without Hasra. I don't believe it.
No, no. They were saying that when you get asra, then you get malchus. When it's mazit the lihasra, then you get a korban. When the Mishnah says bein shug bein mazit, it's referring to mazit the lihasra. Now, just to point out though that there is something there that's noteworthy, which is that you can have the status of mazit without asra. One of the primary functions, the one that Rambam cites is really the only function, or one of the only functions, let's say, of asra is lahafkin min shogeg the mazit. To distinguish, to determine whether or not somebody is doing this bishogeg or mazit, Rambam says, and if you don't have asra, shema shogeg ayin. Right? So the idea that you can have somebody who has a status of an avera of mazit, right, without asra is certainly noteworthy. As far as I know, this might be the place where you find it in Shas. For the Rambam implies it one other place. The Rambam has that notion one other place, that I'm familiar with at least, which is in the context of Suleidus. The Isser of the dinner obviously of Russia is Pusleidus, right? Machmas Aveira. So he becomes Pusleidus. The klal is that Shogig is not Pusleidus. That's based on a Gemara. Now the Rambam says, makes it clear in I think Perek Yud Beis, if I quote correctly, that you don't need asura to be pasulatidus. All you need is to be b'mezid. So and what he says is if the davar is nira le'edim, I think it's called Yud Beis and Hoseidus. That it's nira le'edim that he knows exactly what he's doing and he's doing it anyway. So then you'd be pasul even though there's not asura. It happens to be the Baal Idah raises that as a suffix. He's not sure that that's true. That without asura you become pasulatidus. Presumably, he would tell you on the side that you don't, that without a straw, you don't have mazit. You can't assume mazit. But apparently, you can assume it. So what does it mean, just as a Derek Aga point, what does it mean that it's lahafi mitchogli mazit? I think the idea, and this is something I'm not going to develop down, just say quickly, the idea is that what a straw does is it gives you edus on the zadon element. One of the elements of the avera has to be that it's bezadon. Now you need now, in as much as al pishnayim edim yakum davar and yediyah below re'iyah is not good enough, right? We can't suppose, even if it seems certain that something is true, we have to have actual edus on it, right? This is the classic case of Rishon Chedah, right? Even if you see the guy running into the yichurim, right? So there's nobody there before or after, and he's running out with a knife, and he comes in, right? It's a gemara in Shkut, actually, right? Comes in and he's gemara. I mean. Right, the guy comes and he's following and pursuing these two other people, one of whom is pursuing the other. I get there, and the person who's being pursued is now has a hole in his heart with the dagger that I had seen prior to their entering the room was in the hand of the pursuer, and he dies. And the only two people who are there are these people. Nonetheless, it can't be mechayim in that case. That's yediya below re'iya, and in context of dini nefashis, you need yediya bir. Uri, you need to have edim. Al pishnayim edim, you need to have the all be re'iyah, al pi omed, just by supposition, even if it's basically certain, isn't good enough. So I would argue that the idea of l'havim mechogeg mezid is not that we don't know whether or not he's shogeg or mezid. Maybe he could say, right, tofa de Hebrew, he could say, ishtali, I've forgotten. The point is, you need edus on the zadon. That's the point. You can't just suppose that he knows it to be true, even if you know that. You need to have edus that he knows. How do you have edus? You have to do it tochadei dibor. You have to give him the asra. You have to do it tochadei dibor. You have to give him the kabbal asra. So that all is a measure of providing edus on the zadon element. And that's only required, though, if I want in terms of actually pursuing the onesh. But just to suppose, but I can know that he's mazid based on supposition, the li edus, for other purposes. For the purpose of the chiyuv of the korban here, for the purpose of the ramah, pasul and the edus. That's just the derech agah point. Yeah.
And there may be another raya to what you were saying before about the Hasra and Malkus.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually Gemara on yesterday's daf, Krisos Chavav.
Mm-hmm.
The Gemara discusses the din about whether Yom Kippur is Mechaper. Meaning if Yom Kippur passes you by and you were already Chai Malkus, so the Gemara says you're still Chai Malkus. So the Gemara says, Pshita, why is it any different than a Vada Chi of Karban that you're still Chai of post Yom Kippur? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says here, that Salgad Chamina Hasam Mamuna, who have a Hacha Gufu, Imalokamash Malan, versus Vahanan Tanan Mishnah says in Shmuel's Hoda Vahoda, Sevlos, I say Yom Kippur is Machapir, Sigmar says Lokasha, Hada Asrube, Hada Lo Asrube. So meaning Lagabi Malkus, it sounds like, Rashi's Asrube, the Ika Malkus, Lopater Leoma Kippurim. So in other words, meaning it sounds like there could be potentially a case of Mazid, even without Asra, where Malkus is theoretically in existence.
Okay, I did look up that. Finally, the Gemara says the last possibility is. I'll stop soon. I don't want to try people's. interesting. What?
I don't mind.
I think you could have spoken to his feet. So what I'm going to say is the final option, maybe you do both. Both Kriya Korban and Malchus. When you have Asra, you do both. Now, that raises a question, obviously. What happened to, in general, we say, Mishra Mishra Achas, Mechaylo, Kumad Rabinei, how do you have both? So here, I'll just give you a couple of minor comments. Right, the Ritva says that that does not apply to the Gavo. That's not considered to be a Risha that Mechaylo, that doesn't apply to the Gavo. It could be what the Ritva means is identical to what the Tosos says elsewhere. I think it's an alternative. I think as an alternative, we would say, what, based on what the Tosos says in Tzuvos, is the general principle that they develop, which is that it never, Kumad Rabinei never applies to a Kapara. You don't knock out a kapara. Presumably, it's not an onesh, it's not a risha that you're being mechayev. It's simply an opportunity to be mechaper, and that doesn't get knocked out. The nafkamina. The reason I say it's not the same, I think, as the risha is because there's a nafkamina, namely tashlumin, which are kapara, which is exactly what the Tosfos is talking about there. Tashlumin, which are kapara, are presumably not the gavo. Korban is the gavo, right? So for the risha, if the risha means what is just this, that because it's the gavo, so then I think the risha would not agree necessarily with Tosfos there. But if you have Tosos, I think it certainly would apply here. I think there's also possibly another possibility, which I'll just throw out there, again, I'm going to pursue, maybe, that relates to the uniqueness of the Din Malchus here, which involves two premises. Number one, let's remember that the Malchus in these cases is not Mitzad, right? Especially we're dealing with Shuas Sheker L'Sha'avar, essentially, or in this case, it's Shuas, Los Shakru, which is just Befiv, Akim HaSavasav, is. You can argue that perhaps the Malchus here is not actually an onesh for the Averis Halav, but rather, and you might say, as far as that's concerned, actually, there's no Malchus, Halav Jem Maisa, and looking at it. Rather, it's based on a separate idea, it's based on just the Zilzul Bashem, which is a unique, independent thing. Right? Now, there's the Nishva, Meir, and Mikal, these aren't saying that this, that these, you do punish this Halav with Malchus because, I'm letting you know that. Rather, it's you don't punish the lav of Malchus, but the Zilzul Hashem as an independent Mechayiv, that is actually Mechayiv Malchus regardless. And you might argue, perhaps, and this is something that particular proposition we'll get to, it'll be the second topic on the daf. We'll get to Shem Bishvul, the fact that she's arrived at that idea, about putting a little bit of a distance between the Chiyav Malchus and the Aveira, in terms of the parameters. But I think one could argue, perhaps, and this is what I'm putting out there as a sort of under a question mark. Maybe you might say that Kumli Rabin only applies when you're dealing with the onish on Allah. You can only be mechayev one punishment for an avera. So if you did an avera that happens to warrant because it violates two different yisurim, two punishments, then you don't get both. But when it comes to the phenomenon of zilzul b'shem as something which independently requires that the person be lokeh. Maybe then it's not shy. Maybe then it's not so much we're punishing you as for the Aveir Begavra, but just for the phenomenon of the Zilzul Bashein that needs to be responded to B'Malkos, maybe that would not have a din in Kumli Raminai, and therefore maybe for that reason it would be applied. Maybe, I don't know. Sam? Yeah.
In a normal case of Kimlay, when it's on two separate
Yisurin.
Yeah.
But the point is that you don't. So how many times can you get punished for a Havera? Even if it's for a Maisa Havera, let's say that.
Yeah, Maisa.
It's punished for a Maisa Havera. You can only get one punishment for a Maisa Havera. So what I'm saying is that maybe that only applies, meaning that klal is specifically when it's the Maisa Havera, which is Mechayev the Malchus. But if it's not the Maisa Havera alav, which warranted the Malchus, but simply the phenomenon of somebody who's involved in Zilzul B'Shem, again, I'll get to this a little bit.
What's the difference between Zilzul B'Shem and the Maisa is Zilzul?
Well, it's an act, but it's not. The difference is more that it's not an act which is just punished as a violation of an Isser. But it's just. This is more general concept. This is more general concept. This is something like. I'll give you a mushal, which I heard. Not in context of the mushal, but I heard this from Wolfenstein. That the Nirvana has a piece in the beginning of Vayikra that he wants to know. How Chazal knew that the Ola isn't something that you would be required to bring as a kapara for Lavin Shein Ben Malchus. That's a question he was asking. I'm sorry. That wouldn't be something that you would need to bring for. I'm sorry. For Chayve Makia Shogin. Chayve Makia Shogin. We have Chayve Makios. We have Chayve Misa Shogin. We have a lot of, you know, most cases you bring a Chayve Kuzis. You bring a Korban. You don't bring a Korban for Shogin. Why not? So the Ramban says, why didn't we assume that that's where, you know, you bring the Veneer Zalot Chaper Love? It's not on Bidlum Misase, but it's the Chiv Korban for Shogin, Chayve Makia Shogin. So he says that. There's no, that shogeg, this is a broader point, the shogeg is not a chote b'chla, he doesn't require b'par, because it's, this is what the Ramban says, ain't shum nesiyus chay b'chla, and therefore you wouldn't need b'par. So the question obviously, is, well, so why do you bring b'chata, so why do you bring a korban to that? So he, so the Rosh said, you can understand one of two ways. One, you might say that the standards are higher, you have to work harder to be distance yourself from the possibility of more chamar averos. There's kalos versus chamuros. Chamuros require greater zahiros, and therefore the shogeg regarding a chamor avera, chayvimisus chrisus, is an avera. In fact, it's similar to what Mar Shabbos says, shogeg yirchode. Alternatively, he suggested that that perhaps it's not so much that in terms of the personal, guilt of the gavra, it's actually not different. There's no nesiyas chet there either. But the phenomenon itself, as simply a phenomenon that society has to react to and needs to be responded to, that itself, it could be that it, in shogeg, even for chomer averos, doesn't really bear personal guilt for the avera, but as a phenomenon that you went through, it does require a kapara for that. It's sort of a kapara that lavdafka on the act as a maisa avera halav, but simply as being involved in that kind of phenomenon, that sort of standing phenomenon that needs to be redressed through korban that exists regardless of whether or not you're held to be no se chet, even if you weren't held as responsible as for the crime, but the phenomenon you did go through, and that requires a kapara. Yeah. So there are other examples. This is one that comes up.
Would the Ramban reject the distinction between like shogeg and misasek then? Because it almost sounds like.
That's the question. So misasek is the which applies. Like, well, first of all, well,
I'm saying, leaving aside the Shabbos versus Korban, yeah, cool distinction. I'm saying, like, meaning would he? Would so? It sounds like from the simple reading of the Ramban that you're saying that he disassociates any sort of chet when a person does a shogeg, which is kind of what misasek is, at least in the context of Shabbos.
Well,
sure.
Misasek maybe involves a little bit more. It's not a maisa adam b'chal.
So this is a maisa adam b'lina siyas chet, according to the Ramban. That's what it is.
Yeah. That it's certainly a ma'aseh adam. Whether or not there's the question that the chiddush, the Ramban, is that you don't bear any kind of avera for you. It's not. He says in on the siyus fake call. If I recall correctly, I think one of the I think in the Shavel edition, he says maybe he means specifically kavars korban. And I understand where he's coming from, but the Ramban doesn't really say it that way. He says in on the siyus fake call. Sounds like we don't know that he doesn't need kavars korban. The only reason we say that he doesn't need kavars korban is because he actually doesn't need any kavar whatsoever. So the Ramban said it's a huge chiddush in the Ramban, but it's a good Ramban to know. On the Chayve Makios Ramban, shogeg is nothing. It comes up in interesting times. I think, for instance, it could be relevant to the possibility of Dovr Shem Miskavim. How do you get a heter of Dovr Shem Miskavim? Maybe it's related to this point, that it's kind of a shogeg, which, even if it happens, it's shogeg, and so you don't have to be careful about that. It's a dry self form, no? So the answer is, it's not really Isser, that point, for the Ramban. Maybe. Okay, in any event, let's move on from that. Just as a dark there. Anyway, the Ramah Paskins that you're only five of Korban. That's how we end up. Anybody see the Sefer HaChinuch here? The Sefer HaChinuch is difficult. I don't have an answer to that. The Mechas points out the difficulty. Yeah. The Sefer HaChinuch just says that you're located. It doesn't seem to work with the Gemara. So now we're just coming to the final point, which is the issue of Shuas Eidus, and we'll move on this last point. The Rishonim assume that there's no Magus for Shuas Eidus. So then two questions spring here in the context of the Gemara discussion regarding Shuas Kekadon. Number one, why not? Number two, why wasn't the question asked? All right, why does the Gemara only come to this question when it comes to Shuas Kekadon? What happened to, we had a whole question about, Shuas Bitoh, Shuas Eidus is Shuas Bitoh. Why didn't the Gemara ask the question there about the Magus? So many Rishonim say that the reason that there's no discussion in the Gemara regarding this question in Shuas Eidus is because it doesn't get to the problem. The Malkus don't become an issue simply, only when it, in balancing the Malkus with the Korban. It doesn't get to that point. We don't need to wonder about it. Because internally there's no ability to be chayav makos here anyway. Meaning there's just no chayav makos. Forget the korban. There isn't actually any ability to be chayav makos. It's sort of the chayav is sort of short circuited before it even gets a chance to conflict with the chayav korban. Now why? What's the problem? So here you have two groups. One group of Rishonim say, to give a kind of a technical answer, that there's some hasra related problem. So one example here is Rashi, right? Rashi Shita was the hasra here is invalid as a hasra suffix in as much as the masrim won't know whether or not, right, even if you defy the hasra in this case, the masrim won't know whether or not you're committed an aveir. And for Rashi, that qualifies as a hasra suffix. It's not just if in fact there may not be an aveir, but in fact it's, you know, even if there is an aveir, it's still going to be a hasra suffix as long as the masrim won't know if there's an aveir. If they won't be able to tell you if you do this, you are violating an aveir. If you ignore our hasra, you're violating an aveir. If they can't say that, then that's a hasra suffix. Tosfos don't believe that. They don't think that is a hasra suffix. Others should also point out that you can maybe consider find cases where they maybe would know. Others give an alternative. Tosfos is an example, right, that the hasra is invalid. It's not that it's invalid at its delivery, so to speak. It's just that it won't ever enable punishment because the Avrayanim can always say, oh, shechach, and you won't know that that's not true. Okay, so that raises questions on its own. Either way, those are both two answers within the group that held that the problem here is sort of a technical Asura problem. There is a line in the Me'iri, which I think goes in a different direction. It sounds like he's giving a different answer. Anybody see it? What he said? Can I take a look? You saw the Me'iri?
I didn't get to it.
What?
He
says something along the lines of, if you can find the language on it. This is along the lines of, there's no, at the very end, and Yesh Pirsha, he quotes these explanations, and he says something at the end about the Azhar not being Mubu Eris. And he says something about a Mitzvah Aseh. You have it? It's the end of the line here. It's a very intriguing line.
That's a long time ago.
I said, did I tell you guys only? Yeah, long as up. Alright, I'll find it.
Fine.
Did nobody see it? V'yishu parshim atam, v'nesha shvuas eidus ein ba azhara mufureshes. Ela in lo yagiv nasa abano. V'ein zu azhara ela. I'm convinced here that this should not be onesh. It says onesh in the Barzan also. Ela ase. It must be ase. It's not onesh. Saying in lo yagiv nasa abano. Or maybe it is. Maybe it should be onesh. But either, I mean, it is an ase. I thought maybe it means it's an ase. Either way, Ein zu azhara, v'achar shekein lo hotzoch b'kasva. What does that mean? That what?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So.
All right.